People make terrible mistakes because they go to church, perhaps, or hear the Word of God, or read what I write, and they feel good about it. But you can't approach the Word of God that way. You have to take those scriptures and look deeply into the scripture, think about it, make it a part of your life by doing it. God showed me Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, when I was a new Christian, and I saw very clearly that you must approach the Word of God very carefully. You can't be sloppy with it. You take that verse of Scripture and you look up key words in the Scripture and you think about how you can apply that Scripture to your life. And you think on it not just one day, but many days, just that single verse of Scripture to enable you to actually do what it says. That's where the power of God is, in doing the Scripture by the Holy Spirit. Not by the letter of the law, but by the Spirit of God. Now, what does that mean? Basically, it means letting the Spirit of God lead you in what that Scripture means. God taught me to pray for wisdom over the Scriptures. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I would take the Bible before I read it in those days and pray for God to give me wisdom in what I was reading. And I didn't try to read a whole chapter. I just would read up to the point where a specific verse was strongly called to my attention, and I knew that that verse was a message from God to me that I needed. Recently, I had a problem with a church woman, and I realized that I need to get more Scripture into my life. I had gotten sloppy. So I began to think of ways that I could make it easy for me to read the Bible. I bought some small size Kindles, which only cost about $50 each, and put them around the room, and the only thing I loaded on them was the Bible. And when I would click on the Bible, it would just come up instantly, whereas on my older Kindles, it's really hard to get the Bible to come up. They're older. I've got so much loaded on those Kindles. Plus, I didn't want email on these Kindles. I wanted them to be just Bible, that wouldn't draw me away to some secular subject. So I loaded only the Bible on these little Kindles. And I put one in my bathroom. I put one at the chair that I use that's in front of the TV. I put one by my bed so that when I go to bed at night, I can click on that Bible and read and think about it. And this has just done wonders for me. It's helped me so much. You have to make provision for the Word of God. It's not a matter of hearing the Word of God as much as it is doing the Word of God, thinking on it. Let it change your life by doing it. Let it become a part of you by doing it. I'm sure I have hundreds of scriptures that are a part of me, but it's because I've done them. When I was a new Christian, my best friend, who was a Baptist, said, "Joni, you've got to join Baptist Memory Association and learn Scripture." And I said, "I do." And she said, "Yeah." She said, "I'll enroll you and I'll be your sponsor. So what you do is they tell you to memorize this Scripture and then once a week you have to quote it to me. That was one of the hardest things I've ever done. But when the Holy Spirit is leading you on a scripture, and you look at that scripture that He's shown you, and you think about it, it's a special message from God to you. It becomes a part of you really fast when you meditate on it and think about it and then do it. You won't have any problem quoting a scripture when you handle it that way. So you make provision for the Word of God to be easy for you to get your hands on it. When I sit down now and start to turn the TV on, often instead I will click on that little Kindle and bring up the Bible. Most of the time there's not anything I want to see anyway, and it's just a matter of channel surfing, and then you kind of get frustrated. But sometimes now, instead of turning on a TV to kill an hour of time, I just pick up that little Kindle and just pull up a chapter of the Bible, read anywhere, it doesn't matter a whole lot where you read. The Holy Spirit uses it to help you. But make provision for the Word of God to be easy to get to. I also write out certain scriptures that I need for myself and pin them by my bed on a piece of soundboard. And I thumbtack them beside my bed. And I read them until I can basically just quote it easily and actually do it. The doing is the key. That's what most Christians are missing. And we need more of it. I need more of it. And so I took action when I saw that I fell into strife with this woman. And I took action to get more scripture in me to deal with what I had done. James chapter 1, start at verse 18. Of his own will, of God's own will, begat he us. He caused us to be born again with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He caused me to be born again by a word of truth about myself. He said to me, Joan, he used my name, Joan. You know those mistakes you've been making all these years? Those weren't mistakes, those were sins. And I said, oh, sins? I thought they were mistakes. Many people think that about what they're doing, that they made a mistake, but they don't realize it's a sin. When you realize it's a sin, you get born again. I can give you some examples of that. I was born again at that instant. I'd gone forth and was baptized in water when I was 15. I did it, not the Holy Spirit. I didn't want to go to hell. And I thought that kept me from going to hell. I didn't have the Spirit of God leading me. I didn't have the Spirit of God in me. So there was no change at all. I simply went forward, was baptized, and went on the way that I'd been going before. Unless the Holy Spirit's working in your conversion, you're probably not born again. My mother was in her 70s when she was born again. And it's a rather interesting thing to be born again by. I had gone to visit her, and I opened the cabinet to get a cup and noticed some astrology mugs that I had given her before I was born again. I had gotten the astrology mug that was my dad's birth sign, and my mother's birth sign, my birth sign, and my favorite aunt's birth sign. And they were sitting there in her kitchen cabinet. I'd forgotten all about them. Now I'm born again and know that the zodiac stuff is not permitted by God for Christians. When I saw those, I began putting those mugs in a paper bag. My mother was watching me, and she realized what I was about to do, which is take them out to the alley, break them in the dumpster, and leave them in the garbage to be picked up. I broke them because I didn't want somebody else to pull them out of the garbage and use them. And she knew that's what I was going to do. And she said, "Stop, wait, you gave those to me. I want to keep them." I did not say one word to her. I just kept loading them in the paper bag. I went out to the garbage, broke them, and left them in the dumpster. Came back into the house, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of a passage in Deuteronomy 18, which speaks against the zodiac stuff. I took the Bible and read this scripture to her. Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting at verse 9. "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God." My mother had always loved horoscopes. And when I was a child, she would buy a horoscope magazine at the drugstore and read my horoscope for that day for me. So she loved horoscopes. After I finished reading this passage of scripture to her, she just sat there quietly, and then she said, "Well, I guess we'd better not do that anymore." That caused her to be born again. Now, you'd never think of that causing a person to be born again. But that was where she could be reached, was with that scripture. And God reminded me of that scripture, and that's the scripture I spoke. And I had no thought whatsoever when I began reading it that she would be born again by it. I just read it because it's truth and it fit the subject and the Holy Spirit reminded me of it. I went back to Dallas where I was living at the time. My uncle wrote to me and he said, "Your mother has changed. She's really different." She was now born again. See, you just follow the Holy Spirit and do what He shows you, what He brings to your mind. Now let's read James chapter 1 again. James 1, verse 18. "Of His own will, God caused us to be born, begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Now, don't be confused by thinking you're never supposed to be angry. Jesus looked upon them with anger because of the hardness of their hearts when he heard them speak. So you could be led to be angry with a person when it's the righteousness of God that's being violated. But the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. That word is going to be grafted into our heart and change us, just like you'd graft a fruit tree. God will change our heart. He changed my mother's heart over that horoscope. He changed my heart over the, so to speak, mistakes I had been making, which were really sin. That's what being born again is. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Then verse 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain, it's empty, useless. Before we speak to another person, we realize we are going to speak, usually. There have been times that I have had a Christian woman or man in front of me, and I've wanted to say something, and God has just absolutely stopped me from speaking. It's God who bridles your tongue. He bridles your tongue with his word. When you have been meditating on his word, very often you're stopped from speaking what your flesh wants to speak. If you don't let the word rule over you that way, and you speak what you want to speak, your religion is vain, empty, useless. It is the word of God that we are thinking upon that changes us. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you today.